Today I'm beginning a message series titled Reach. You're going to hear lots about this word in the next 3 years as the theme of our capital campaign as we move forward toward God's preferred future for us here at Circle Drive Baptist Church. This emphasis is more than just about raising money. It's about reaching in, a personal transformation, reaching up to God, and then reaching out to the lost around us. The following two statements that I'm going to share with you are foundational to reaching in. The first foundational statement is this: our purpose in life is to experience the grace and goodness of God so deeply that our lives are transformed and we live to honor Him in all that we think, in all that we say, and in all that we do. The second foundational statement is this: our love for others and our obedience to God's commands are the overflow of our love for Him. With these two statements in mind, let's look at today's title and today's text. Reach in, from Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second commandment, like it, is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater other commandment greater than these.'" Today, I want us to look at these verses of the Bible. During the next 3 years, the most wondrous thing is not going to be the raising of funds, but rather the raising of our spiritual lives through a transformation as we love God and love others. Now, you understand that the source of this love is not something that's of us, but it's of God. First, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, "Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Indeed, at the very moment we were converted, God poured His love out into our lives. So, in order to reach in, that is, to have a spiritual transformation, we must first of all, point number one, have a passionate relationship. A passionate relationship. Jesus said, the first of the commandments is this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. This is the first commandment." Now, I think that most of us would have at least one passion in our lives. Now, passion is defined as a compelling emotion. We talk about being passionate. Some people are passionate about NASCAR. Others, quilting. Some, shopping. Some, football. Some are passionate about sleeping. Some are passionate about reading. What about parenting? What about sewing? Coin collecting? What about hunting? What about UK basketball? Every one of us has a passion. You knew I'd get that in there somewhere, didn't you? Every one of us, and you know what? It is not wrong to have a passion. It really isn't. It's not wrong for you to be passionate about sewing or watching NASCAR or hunting, or as they say in the state I was born in, hunting. They don't say hunting, they say hunting. You ever go hunting? So people have passions, and there's nothing wrong with being passionate. There's nothing wrong with me being passionate about a college basketball team as long as it's not my greatest passion. When any of these are your greatest passion, then you're breaking this commandment. The greatest passion of all should be our passion for God. Those of us who are followers of Jesus, while we might exhibit some of these other passions and nothing wrong with them, and believe you me, I was very passionate last night. Now I'm passionately sad. But our greatest passion should be our relationship with God. For the ultimate purpose of our lives is to know God and to love Him. When we think of the word reach, our immediate thought should not be money or a building. Our immediate thought should be God. The greatest commandment, the greatest passion of our lives, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. You know, I think that if we took a poll, a public opinion poll today, and I asked this question, what should be the greatest passion of a Christian's life? I think we'd have a unanimous vote. The greatest passion of a Christian's life should be their passion for God. I think that vote would be unanimous. We say it in our minds, but the question is, do we live it with our lifestyles? There's a book that ought to be added to the Bible. You say, Mike, that's heresy. It's the book called Ought to Be. There's some phrases that ought to be there, but they're not. Now, I'm being silly. If you think I'm being serious, then you need to go talk to me after church. I'm being silly. But there's a verse, there's a phrase that ought to be in there, and it is this: actions, do you know it? Speak louder than words. Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord, but you never do what I say? How many of us can say, yes, I believe that the greatest passion of a Christian's life should be God, and the greatest passion of my life should be God, but my question is, you believe that mentally, but are you living it out through your lifestyle? Now, D. Edmund Iber has written a book. It's a very good book. It's in my library. It's called Mark, A Portrait of the Servant. And this is what he says. Love to God must possess these things. First of all, the whole heart, the seat of personality. The whole soul, the self-conscious life. Next is this, the whole mind, the rational faculties. And then the whole strength, the entire active powers of a person. And then he goes on in his book to conclude. He says, these variations make it clear that there is no intention to give a psychological analysis of human personality. The accumulation of these terms underlies the comprehensiveness of the duty of love. If God is worthy of man's love, he must be loved with all of man's being. Now, when I think of these verses and I think of being passionate toward God, I am reminded of Michael Downing, the grandson of Lee Stewart. Lee is an active member of our church. Lee, are you here today? Stand up, Lee. I want you to see Lee. Stand up. I just want you to see who he is. Lee's grandson, Michael Downing, was a student at Fountain Fort Carson High School. He played football, but the greatest passion of his life was not football. Now, he was passionate about football. He loved football. But the greatest passion of his life was his personal relationship with God. He had the respect of his peers. He had the respect of his fellow football players. He had the admiration of the faculty and staff of Fountain Fort Carson High School because he was genuine in his faith, and his greatest passion in his life was his relationship with God. But one day, Mike was diagnosed with cancer. It was very serious in the latter stages. He began chemotherapy treatments immediately. His family and all the student body rallied around Michael. They prayed for him. They held fundraisers in the community to raise funds to help pay for all of his medical bills. The response of that school and that community was just absolutely amazing. Yet when Michael was 19 years old, he passed away. His celebration of life service was at Woodman Valley Chapel here in Colorado Springs. That huge worship center was filled to capacity with people. They had bused students up from Fountain Fort Carson High School to attend this celebration of life service because Michael's life had impacted so many lives. He'd inspired thousands. But during Michael's battle with cancer, he kept a journal. And on a regular basis, he would write in these pages reflections and share his heart on paper. If you were to visit Michael's gravesite today, the very place where his body was laid to rest there in the cemetery in Manitou Springs, you would see on the tombstone the very last words that Michael wrote in his journal before he passed away. I want to read to you those words right now. Here they are. This came on the tombstone, appeared on the tombstone. Who really cares what others think of you after you have left the earth? If God is not impressed, if God asked me, Michael, what did you do with my son Jesus Christ? He wrote, I would say I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. Also, if he asked me, what did you do with what I gave to you? Michael wrote in his journal the very last words that he wrote before he passed away. I hope I can say that I fulfilled God's purpose in my life. Those words are on the tombstone at his gravesite. You see, even in his passing, the legacy of Michael Downing's passion for God still lives on. We're talking here about passion. We're not talking here necessarily about finances. We're talking about being passionate toward God, passionate in our relationship with God, passionate in growing with God, passionate in hearing from God, and passionate in doing what God tells us to do in every area of our lives, which would include our contribution to the Capitol campaign. But we're talking here tonight, today, about reaching in. You see, when you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength, then you will have point number two, and that is a passionate regard. A passionate regard. The Bible says, and verse 31, and the second, like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater other commandment greater than these. You see, Jesus did not stop with the commandment to love God. He also commanded us to love one another. In other words, our passionate love for God should lead us to passionately love other people, Christians and non-Christians. They are our neighbors. Just who is our neighbor? The Bible says, love your neighbors yourself. In this text, Jesus is not making reference to some geographical location or to any other references. Other than this, our neighbor is anyone that we have dealings with. That is our neighbor. So the second command includes loving both Christians and non-Christians. You see, point blank, here it is, folks. When you love God, you love people. Now, this verse makes me wonder why God would have to command Christians to love other Christians. Isn't that kind of strange? That he would command us to love other Christians. And I'm sitting there thinking, why is this? That is, until this past week when I Googled these words, fighting among church members. You know what you're going to find when you Google that? You're going to find some really fascinating stories. For example, this headline in a New Jersey newspaper reads, Trenton Church Gone Wild. Fistfights, police, pastor death threats at Jerusalem Baptist Church in Trenton, New Jersey. Part of that article goes like this. On September the 5th, 2010, the pastor alerted the congregation that he would be administering communion, the Lord's Supper, along with several other church ministers. One deacon shouted out, in a church service just like this, just like the one we're at right here, if you say another word, I'm going to kill you. A deacon said that to the pastor. Then he stormed to the communion table, grabbed a tray, and began serving the people in the congregation, and then took that communion tray and threw it back on the table. I think of another one. What about this headline in the Gallatin, Tennessee newspaper? Sunday service ends with church members in a fight. Listen to this. More than 100 people dressed in their Sunday best flooded to the parking lot of Peach Valley Baptist Church to see a fight among 8 people. They had church that day, didn't they? I don't know about you folks, but I think they had more excitement out in the parking lot probably than they did inside the church. So we see, what about all of this? And these are just a few of many. These churches need to study Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. Love your neighbor as yourself. In each of these two stories that I've shared with you, the root problem is the absence of passion for loving God. People have their own agenda, and they're going to battle for it. But when you passionately love God, you will have a passionate regard for other people. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about loving others, doesn't it? Let's take a look at some of these. Let's take a look, first of all, at Romans chapter 13, verse 9 and 10. Let love be without hypocrisy. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. And then there's another verse. For the Son of Man did not come to this world, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. This verse refutes self-centeredness. We live out the second command of loving our neighbors through our actions. Jesus demonstrated to us his love by serving and giving himself to others. In other words, he calls us to a non-hypocritical love that is demonstrated by our actions. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. This is profound. This is really, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in tongue, word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And look, if you will, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, but through love serve one another. Now, Mark chapter 12, verse 31 reminds us of the second greatest commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, here's the big question. It's a long one, so don't take a commercial break. Stay right with me. What can you expect when you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself? You want to know what to expect? It's one word. It begins with T, and here it is. It is the word transformation. Transformation. Now, the Christian life is all about transformation. Romans 12, 2, but keep on being continuously transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think of Romans chapter 8, verse 29, where the Bible says, "For whom he foreknew, he conformed to be predestined to the conformed to the image of his Son." You see, reach in, that is loving God and loving others, ushers in a miraculous transformation in our lives. In the next 3 years, as we develop our relationship with God by loving Him, by loving others, we will experience a personal transformation. In the next 3 years, as we develop our relationship with God by loving Him and loving others, we will experience a life filled with purpose. Here it is, folks. Here's the equation. Loving God plus loving others equals a life of purpose. As we reach the next 3 years, we begin by reaching in, by experiencing both a transformation and a life filled with purpose.